Now, to Somali-born Ifra Ahmed, who was just 8 when she was subjected to female genital mutilation. At 17, she was smuggled out of Somalia and actually found herself in Ireland. She is now 32. She is a proud Irish citizen and a successful campaigner against FGM. She was instrumental, in fact, in bringing about legislation banning that practice in Ireland. Her story has now been made into a film called A Girl from Mogadishu. And we can talk to Ifra and the director of the film, Mary McGuckian. Let's talk, first of all, to Ifra. Good morning to you, Ifra. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning.
Now, I watched the film the other day and it's very, very impressive. Your story is a really moving one, but a terrible story initially. To witness, as we do in the film, you as a very young girl being subjected to female genital mutilation. How do you look back on that period of your life, Ifra? Do you think about it a lot? Do you have real vivid memories of what happened that day?
Yes, I do. I went back to Somalia as an activist to carry on what I was doing in Ireland. So when I go back to Somalia, starting the campaign, first thing I remember is that in 2018, there was a young girl, 10 years old, named Deka. She died on FGM on bleeding. And during my activism being in Somalia, I came across with her dad and I went to the village Deka passed away. For me, sitting on the plane, I thought of a lot of my all pain because Deka was one of the 4 girls who passed away and I was one of 9 girls who was cut but lucky to be survivors.
Yes, you did survive, but what a thing to survive. And when you arrived in Ireland alone, so young, some staff at a hospital discovered that you'd been subjected to FGM. And we should say, for anybody who doesn't know, this practice involves the partial or total removal of external female genitalia or other injury to the female genital organs for non-medical reasons. You read it out that starkly. They are the facts. But what that does to a young woman, young girl, indescribable in absolutely every way. So when the doctors at the hospital in Ireland saw what had happened to you, Ifra, what did they do and say?
Oh, it's really difficult because I remember before I go to the... There is something called smear test,
yes,
which in my country, women who haven't been married, not go through on smear test because we believe that gynecologist is a mother and women who have baby and things like that. So for me going through that, I did not understand any of it, but that was not the worst case. The worst case is when the nurse and the doctor asked me what happened to you and how it happened, how you get injured, who did this to you and all that. And because they didn't really understand that I was going through on female genital mutilation. So they were all shocked and they're running around. And for me, that gives me a little bit scared because everybody who goes to a general medical check, they are explained about certain things of the diseases or sickness and all that. And I was explained that HIV AIDS and, you know, hepatitis and malaria and so on. So I was really scared because I thought they're going to tell me something different than that, something that I see it was okay and normal to practice in my own culture or my own country. So it was very hard for me to explain, especially when I have a man who were translating for me to explain
what was
my
going on.
Private area and everything else.
Yes, I cannot imagine how lonely and how frightened you must have been in that moment after everything you'd already been through. Mary McGuckian, the director, how much did you know about FGM and about Somalia before you met Ifra?
I knew a little about FGM, but like many people, I had a notion that it was something else over there, didn't really affect that many people. I think I was astonished when I started to look at it, at the scale of it, that there are 200 million women alive today suffering from the consequences of FGM, that there are countries such as Somalia where the incidence is at an unwavering 98% and has been for a very long time.
Yeah, and just for anybody who doesn't know, Mary, why is it done? Why? I mean, most people listening to that would think, well, why on earth would you do that to your much-loved child or granddaughter?
Well, that's a much more complex question that, you know, that Ifra's life work is dedicated to understanding what it is, the combination of cultural, historical issues and societal norms that condition societies to continue the practice. And that's the work that Ifra and her foundation continue to address. Probably more authentic to ask Ifra to speak to that.
Well, Ifra, it was actually your grandmother who, did she carry out the FGM or was she overseeing what went on? Was she just present when it was carried out?
She was just present when it was carried out because we grew up with her and she was making the decision and she was just helping the doctor who was cutting us to hold our hand and legs.
Because your grandmother believed passionately, clearly, that it was the right thing to do to you.
Yes, because she thought, she said, it's something being carried on by her, by her mother, by everyone she knew, and it's something that she to continue her own daughters and her daughters to daughters and everyone else.
Yeah, it is so difficult for so many people to understand why she felt she had to do it. Do you think now she was being cruel or was she actually doing genuinely what she believed was best?
I don't see she was cruel because she did not understand. And my grandmother passed away in 2015 and I was lucky enough during my activism to land in Mogadishu and have a chat with my grandmother and ask her what was all about and why did she do that. And my grandmother explained because she was scared, her mother was scared. She grew up in a generation where the ignorance there and every girl was scared. And she said that is where they see protection of young girls and that is why it's done.
I know that at the moment you can't go back to Somalia because of COVID, but do you hope to go again?
Yes, I am. I'm just looking, forward and everything to open up and normal life. And then, yes, I am. But even though I'm in Ireland, still I am doing a lot of work, being up 3 in the morning or, 4 in the morning, talking to people in the grassroots who are doing day-to-day activism because of, as we all know, that since the COVID, FGM has increased it all around the world, including Somalia.
Yeah, can you explain why? Why that link between an increase and COVID?
And first of all, one is that there was no more grassroots who were going to the IDBs explaining about the risks and the danger of FGM. Second, the Somali government, they closed the Holy Quran school and schools. And this has actually given the family opportunity to say, now my daughter is at home and it's a good time for me to cut her instead of she to miss the Holy Quran or school.
Right, I see.
And that is what actually drove them to do it.
Yeah, it's a very depressing picture you paint. Thank you so much and congratulations to you on the work you've done. And Mary, it is thanks to the work of Ifra that FGM has now been banned in Ireland. The practice is banned there.
Yes, Ifra was at the forefront of that campaign and she would recognise with many others from
sure.
other grassroots activists in Ireland all the way up to the President of Ireland, who's a great supporter of Ifra and her work.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you very much indeed. That's film director Mary McGuckin. You also heard from the activist Ifra Ahmed. And that film, A Girl from Mogadishu, is available to watch on cinema platforms nationwide. And indeed, if you live in Ireland, you can see it in cinemas there right now. I know we have many listeners in Ireland.